I really feel like there's a, like for women, there's a massive gaping hole where that was bad. There is a massive hole.
Still bad.
Where, like, I know.
You started this, not me.
We're going to do blooper reels, aren't we? There's a massive space where there needs to be more women who spend.
There's a massive gaping hole. People thought this was going to be a professional interview.
I'm sweating. I'm red. Like, oh, look, my I'm God. Actually turning red.
I got the Italian blush. I got the Italian blush.
There's a space that needs to be filled with knowledge. Where I like how quickly women you blew through that. I can't do it another way. I can't come up
there's
with
there's a
anything.
Massive gaping void that needs to be filled with some throbbing knowledge. Throbbing knowledge. Is that better?
Welcome to the All-American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burke. And his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the All-American Savage Show podcast. I am your host, John Burke. Josh is out of the studio today, but we have an even better replacement. We have the one and only Tracy Beans, who, by the way, is she's in a mood today. Like, let's not even kid ourselves. You're gonna pick this up from her. We've already discussed this. And by the way, I'm very, very glad to have you here today. I had to bust your chops. Look, she was like, we have to do it. It was like 11 a.m. EST, which is 10 a.m. CST for Maine. I'm like, okay, we're going to make this work.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm totally busting your chops.
Listen, I just got to tell you, our main interaction with each other has been busting each other's balls.
So you cheat. The meat gazer thing, the rules were simple. And I basically said, I was like, look, it has to be below the waist. That's common knowledge. And it has to be current. You can't use old stuff. So you're sending me gifts of the meat gazers. Like, it doesn't count. You don't play it that way.
Before the rules were established, first of all. And second of all,
these are common sense rules.
Don't even. You sent me an old video of you in DM, which is clearly against
that video was from 2 weeks ago in Turkey. I thought of you while I did that. What are you talking about?
And you're a cheater. And cheaters never win.
Wow, gaslighting, just like a liberal. I'd expect that from Lums and TikTok, not from you.
Don't take my jokes, okay? First of all, nobody else on the planet has ever started off an interaction with me ball busting. So this is just the Tracy you get. There is no.
I prefer it. That's the real part, because you need those people in your life to get to bust your balls. Because, you know, I'm serious with that, because you get, I watch a lot of your interviews. You get serious stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes people need to cut loose and, you know, show the fun side of themselves. Because, fuck, I mean, if not, it doesn't make you want to blow your brains out having to deal with this stuff all the time, the negativity, the drama.
You know what's funny? People don't have any idea, like, how sarcastic and stupid I am on a daily basis. Nobody.
You have to be. You have to. Those are like characteristics that make people endearing. And I think people should see more of that, though, because it shows the human side of you. It shows that, you know, amidst all of the journalism that you do, all the investigative reporting that you do, is like there is a human side to you. Matter of fact, you talked about you have to cook your husband lunch, which I think is incredible. You don't see a lot of women doing that stuff anymore. You don't see them talking about it. So,
well, it's his birthday, first of all.
I saw that. Happy birthday to him and you too.
Yeah, he's great. My husband's great. I'm blessed. And so, you know, typically, honestly, we eat meat. So he grills for me every
carnivore
day.
Carnivore diet, right?
Yes. Yeah. But today is a special day.
What are you doing?
I'm doing meatballs.
What kind?
Meatballs. What kind of meatballs?
There's different. What do you mean, what kind of meatballs? Are you Italian? Like,
Italian
what are you?
Italian meatballs.
Oh, thank you. That's a type of meatball. I mean, there's certain seasonings that go into. I'm from the South and I know this. Like, how do you not know this?
There is no other meatball but an Italian meatball. Like, what kind of a question is that even?
All right, this interview's over. We're done.
You drove all that way to get
to get schooled on meatballs. No, happy birthday to your husband. I did see that you wished him that. Let's push pause on this. You two have been married for how long now?
16 years.
Give the viewers, myself as well, give us some advice. What are some tips? And I'm not saying like give me the general the bolt. Like, what are things that you two do to make it work, to make it last, to keep it? Like things that are specific that if you feel comfortable sharing, what are things you two do to like really make it work together?
Gosh, you know, the crazy thing is like I met my husband and for years and years, we spend literally every waking moment together all day long, every single day. So we just get along. I mean, he deals with my bullshit, which is like when I walk into a room, I'm a tornado. I take off my shirt. I throw it. Like he's very neat and orderly and I am not. And we used to fight a lot in the very beginning when we first got married, but we just learned to like, I mean, he's the sweetest guy ever. And he takes care of me. I couldn't ask for more. Like I was just raised very traditional, I think. So like when he used to drink, if his beer was almost empty, that man had a beer in his hand, just mutual respect. There's no like magic formula. You just find someone who you really actually truly love. And then you decide you're going to take vows and stick to them. And the rest is typically history. I'm just blessed. We're just a good match, you know?
How'd you two meet? Uh-oh.
This is a story.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
So back in the day when MySpace first came out, like we both lived on Long Island. We're both
Yourself there.
It's okay. I'll be 44 in July. It's all good. We had a mutual friend who was a Yankees fan. And I busted her balls all the time because I'm a Met fan. And he was busting her balls all the time because he's a Met fan.
Did you grow up in New York?
Yeah.
What part?
Massapequa.
My family used to spend summers in Staten Island. I love New York. I was like, she's either Jersey, New York. Look, I know how offensive that is. I'm sorry. But with that accent, sometimes, like, you don't have a thick accent. So it could be Jersey, to be fair.
First of all, my accent... I had to tone it down because I moved down south.
Right.
And I was in the construction industry when I first moved down here.
That's not a stereotype. We're going to make bodies disappear. I'm in construction. I know a guy.
It's where I fit. So I moved down here and I had to, you know, everybody was basically repelling me because they didn't like the Yankees. They hate the Yankees. But anyway, I met my husband through this girl that I went to high school with her. He was in the comments messing with her on the Mets. I was too. We kind of joined forces. We ended up pissing her off so bad that she blocked the both of us. And then, and it turned out that like he from a different part of Long Island was kind of integrated into this friend group somehow. And I'd never met him before. And we met that way. And we actually had a Mets themed wedding. That's how
committed.
Yeah.
That's how committed.
Bleeding orange and blue, you know.
So you kind of like were already doing the online dating without even realizing it.
Yeah.
Completely
and totally. Yeah. I met him in 2005. Yeah.
And 16 years of happily married wedding bliss.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That is incredible. That's good for you. Congratulations to both of you. It's nice to see that. There's so many horrible stories out there. To see somebody actually happy and doing well and thriving and being successful, it's a great thing to see. We need more of that in the news. But unfortunately, it doesn't get clicks. Nobody cares. We only care about the negativity, you know?
I tried yesterday to provide like an unbiased view of this bridge situation.
Oh, God. Let's get into it. Let me hear your thoughts. What are your thoughts on this?
My opinion as of right now, which drove everybody insane. It starts with an O, opinion.
Right.
Like, I'm allowed to have one, too.
No, you're not. Not unless it's with mine, and not unless I agree with it, then you're not allowed to have it. Absolutely not.
It's pretty crazy.
That's the way Twitter works.
It's crazy, the comments I got. People, like, cursing me out for having I'm serious.
I believe. It's the stupidity of it. It's just that, you know, what is your opinion?
It's an accident. A terrible.
Oh, thank you. Tracy, I did 13 years in the Army, all right? I fought these shitheads for 4.5 years. I know what terrorism looks like. I know their stratagems. I know this stuff. And, you know, and the things that irked me is that, look, before you even come to an opinion, let's at least get more of the facts.
We still don't have enough.
Exactly. But the early stages of this, you had the likes of idiot DC Drano and the rest of these morons out there. It's like, it could have been Ukraine. It could have been Iran. It could have been Russia. It's like, okay, let me get this straight. So we go from having elaborate schemes of 9/11 to that level to now they're hijacking a boat at 1 o'clock in the morning to hit a bridge that serves no strategic value whatsoever. And people buy this. They sop it up because everybody loves a good conspiracy theory these days.
It's unfortunate because people don't realize, like, if I were to have come out, like, saying all of that right off the bat, let's just say the problems it could cause, because people, like, over time have come to trust me, I think. Mm-hmm. If I were to just spout something off like that with, like, literally no real solid information.
Right.
This living in fear concept we have is just terrible for everything. It's terrible for your health. Mm-hmm. It's terrible for your spirit. It's terrible for the country. If there's a real legitimate reason to be angry and pissed off and upset, fine. But some of the stuff that goes on, I'm like, you cannot make a declarative statement about something when you don't even have nobody has the information. And then my real point about this, John, was that we will never know the truth.
Yeah.
Never. We're never going to know, because even if they tell us what the truth is, we won't believe them. And that's an institutional problem, not an us problem. Mm. So there's, like, multifacets going on in every one of these events that happened. But sometimes there is just a terrible accident. And I think that this was one of those times.
Yeah.
Personally.
It seems that, and I know this is going down the rabbit hole here, but it seems like when Elon purchased Twitter and then did the monetization program for large scale creators. And, you know, if you hit over, what is it? 5 million, not views, but
impressions.
Thank you. I got monetized on my other account before I got banned, but it's like, oh, that's cool. I made like $100 a month just trolling people. It's like, okay, I can see how this could be a good thing, but I can also see how this could be a very bad thing, because what it has given way to is the fear mongering, the fear porn, the rage baiting, hence the barge incident. You have people, I can't even remember names, people just coming out of the woodwork immediately, like mass casualty event, conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. And it gets the clicks. And like you just said, the truth can come out later, but the damage is already done. It doesn't matter. And it seems like it's very irresponsible of Elon to let this continue. But I get free speech, even though it's not really free speech, you know. So I feel like when you have people like you, they're going to say, look, this is an opinion. Keep in mind, this is an opinion. People are going to take that opinion as this is you reporting, and therefore you're a sellout, you're this, that, and the other. Meanwhile, these other people over there are not giving opinions. They're giving facts, quote-unquote facts, that are clearly wrong for the sake of engagement posts.
Yeah, engagement posts and kind of what do you notice? What do you notice?
Oh, I know.
What do you notice about this random video playing with nothing particular happening in it? What do you notice?
What do you see?
What do you see in here?
I can't stand it.
It works.
It does?
I consistently make over 5 million impressions a month. Do you know what my average ad payout is on X? $120 bucks.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I never used to make any money on X whatsoever, and I was banned for years.
That's so weird, because my account only had 15,000 and it got like about 120, but they must be doing something to you then.
It's the advertisers. There are certain advertisers who consider me controversial and won't put their ads on my stuff. So I get a lot of Sheen and a lot of like, whiten your teeth today with this new, you know, special toothpaste, you know, a lot of that stuff. But it is what it is. I mean, and it is free speech to lie to people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's up to us to use our discernment and not go off the deep end based on, you know, people claiming things that are facts that just are not provably facts. Like I saw a bunch of different. It's frustrating for me because the popular narrative becomes the crazy wild thing. And then I'm like, actually, that's not true. And then I say it. And then this is inevitably what happens. There's a new person that pops up in the past 6 months and starts saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. And people latch on to that person and they say, oh my gosh, this person has insider knowledge. Let me follow them. Yeah. And then I've been around for decades, which is sad. Decades. at this point.
It means your experience. It means your experience. You have wisdom.
But they know me, though. That's my point. Like, this is what you get. I'm never, this is me. This is what you get. You know me. You know me. Yeah. But they'll say, I'm lying. And I'm a, you know, you're this, you're a sellout, you're a blah, and the new person that just popped up out of nowhere less than a year ago is like the pinnacle of truth and justice.
Yep.
And I, who has been here forever, am a liar. It's mind-boggling.
Don't you just love the way it works?
Every time.
Don't you love the way it works? It's like, it gets to the point where it's like, I don't give a damn about you, you idiots. Like, you deserve these shills. You deserve these conspiracy theorists because... You know, I'd been doing this since 2015. I had a massive following, and then I lost it all during COVID because of COVID misinformation. Like, I had almost 700,000 on Facebook, 300-something thousand on YouTube, and they took me down because of my positioning. And you know a lot about this. You did a lot of research into COVID. And my positioning wasn't necessarily like I'm an expert. It was just more so of I believe in medical autonomous freedom. I don't believe in people being forced into anything. Now, if you want to get the jab, get the jab. I don't care. It's like, I just don't believe people should be forced into that. And they banned me from medical misinformation, which I never listed saying the jab doesn't work. I was like, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I feel like I represent a lot of basic American citizens out there saying, I just don't know. But what I do know is I don't trust the government. I don't trust what these people tell us. Look at our food. I know you've done some stuff on, like, we look at processed food, how horrible it is for us. Now Sheila and I are doing our best to do homesteading to where we're growing some of our own food. We have chickens. We're doing a lot of things because this stuff we're eating is horrendous for us. So it's like if the government and the FDA would lie about things in terms of, let's just say, box cereal or whatever the case may be, you think they're going to tell you the honest to God's truth when it comes to a jab that has undergone a clinical trial of at tops, at best, like when it was released about a year? It's like, stop. Stop with this nonsense.
Yeah, and it was even less than that because it wasn't.
Yeah, we
are on the same page. I, though, was telling people not to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, don't do this. Hold out. Wait. Right. You know, it's going to come around. We need you guys to stay strong. Please don't, you know, because a lot of people were doing it because their employers were mandating it. Really rocking a hard place stuff. But the more people didn't, the stronger our chances of stopping this nonsense. And if they just would hold out a little longer, and I knew it, I could feel it was coming, and it did.
Yeah.
I just watched a video last week of the, you know, like a recap from John Stossel, who was always pro freedom, especially in the beginning of COVID, doing a recap of what they did to us during that. That's easy to kind of forget as time goes on. And
I was literally about to bring that up. Don't you just love how everything that we went through has been memory-holed by our own side, no less, for the sake of beating the left?
And we're not going to beat the left that way, by the way. Yeah. But to each their own. I got chills watching it. I'm like, we lived through that shit. Like, we lived through that. That was crazy town. And it was just a terrible time. Now, we started reporting on COVID like way early.
Mm-hmm.
I published one of the first articles that completely deconstructed the PCR test.
Mm-hmm.
Was
this prior to China going hard in the paint on the, in the media as far as the fear porn?
This was in March.
Okay.
So right after, literally, I think either right before or right after lockdown.
Yeah.
And then on my podcast,
I think it was like right when it was at that cusp of when it was about to happen. Was it like January of 2020?
When it first started trickling out. Yeah, yeah. But it had been here since October, which.
Right.
That was another early piece that I did. Like, I took all the CDC ILI data.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it into charts, and I showed the travel, like how it traveled around the country and where it hit. And it came through Seattle, which is where all the military came through when they came back from the Wuhan games.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first place. And, you know, I had all family members, this horrible viral illness that they doctors were like, oh, so we're viral pneumonia going around. We don't really know what it is. You know, we're treating it like normal viral pneumonia. And it lingered for like weeks, and then months later, COVID. So there were a lot of people with it. I'm sure your audience people will be like, I had it in October. I had it in November.
Yeah.
Yeah. But COVID was terrible. And I did a lot. I mean, we had a, I released a, like a, coffee table book that wasn't print. It was, you know, man, you could print it yourself if you want. It was free. It was like 200 articles in there. It was Uncover COVID, we called it, because it was all of our COVID reporting through September of 2021 or 2022. Mm. And there's been so much more since then. So yeah. I'm never going to stop talking about that. Biggest travesty ever to hit our world. Well, every single person living or unborn was affected by it forever.
Doesn't it anger you? At least it angers me that with RFK's VP pick, and I'm going to skip a lot of the stuff because we already know the outcomes of DeSantis versus Trump. Trump's the nominee. It is what it is. RFK, I think one of his biggest appeals was he talked a lot about COVID accountability. You didn't see anything like that coming from the Trump camp because, again, Trump is the father of the vaccine, the jab. He endorsed it. He still brags about it. How does it make you feel when RFK Jr., who was initially being looked at as pulling potentially some votes from Trump, goes and picks a far leftist as his VP, and now in order to get COVID accountability, as he so says, you got to vote for someone who just brought on an extreme leftist as his VP. Like, how does that make you feel?
Well, several things. It doesn't surprise me at all because, as I've been saying from the very beginning, he is a leftist. End of story.
Thank you.
Why anybody's like, oh my gosh, well, maybe we should acquiesce to this, because no. Second of all, he is not going to bring COVID accountability. And let me tell you why. This is an unpopular opinion. I said it on Shannon Joy's show a couple weeks ago.
Love and Shannon. She's awesome.
Me too. She's badass.
She's one of those. She's like you. She doesn't give a fuck. I love it.
She gives less of a fuck than I do, honestly.
But she doesn't have the New Yorker accent to the effect that you do, though. So
but
I think
she's
that,
in
that
Rochester. That's why. That's not really New York.
You wouldn't pin her. I mean, you can tell she's Yankee. You can tell she's got some Yankee-ish to her. Like with you, it's like, oh no, that's Italian. Like that's New Yorker. That's New York talk. We'll get you some coffee, some bagels.
I'm not ashamed of it, honestly.
Oh, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't
be. My husband's Puerto Rican and Italian, so we've got.
Oh, Jesus.
My son's amazing.
Just a lot of back and forth, huh?
Yeah, it's good.
anyway, you were saying, I'm sorry for interrupting.
I was saying, he will not bring COVID accountability. Number one, he does not believe in destroying these institutions. He just thinks that changing people will make a difference. He thinks that the people that work there are still good people. That was number one. Number two, this man, unfortunately, apologizes for things he hasn't even done. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're going to apologize for things you haven't even done under a little bit of media pressure, you think you're taking on the CDC and the FDA and the FBI and the CIA? Are you out of your mind?
You're apologizing
for things you didn't say. You're apologizing for ads you didn't make. I'm so sorry if I offended you, family, for this ad honoring my legacy that I didn't even create that aired during the Super Bowl. No. So I'm not surprised by it. I'm glad that most people are like, okay, can't do this, because that would be a nightmare. Just a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Oh,
it
where are the
feels.
Conservatives? Where are the conservatives, John?
I don't know. Everybody, I honestly get this question so much. Like, who are you voting for? It's like, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to vote. I mean, because at this point, what does it matter? We've got three Democrats. You've got Trump, who's a Clinton-era Democrat. You got RFK, that's a Democrat, that's running independent because he knows he's not going to get the DNC nomination. And you've got Biden, who we know it's not Biden. It's somebody else pulling the strings. So who do we pick? And we had DeSantis. I'm more liberal. I'm a conservatarian. I'm more libertarian, but I am fiscally conservative. I believe in live and let live. You do what you want to do. I just don't want to pay for it, and don't try and ram it down my throat. So
we're speaking the same language because I come from the Ron Paul revolution. Okay.
Thank you.
So
yes.
Yeah, we're on the same page. That's exactly how I feel as well. And I look at what's going on here. It's like, the problem is that I think as the big tent got bigger and bigger and like walk away came about and everything.
The Overton window shifted left.
Nobody taught them why conservative libertarian principles work and are good. Mm-hmm. Nobody taught them why limited government is what the answer is, or anything for that matter. Yeah. And so they just took everything they believed and said, those people are absolutely nuts and I can't spend any time over here anymore because they're crazy. Let's move over here. And with it, they brought took the time to explain why conservatism is the way to go. They just didn't want to be with the lunatics over on the left anymore.
Right.
So that's our bad. I mean, I tried, but I'm only one little person. So
when you saw I kind of understood the premise behind why the conservative tent needed to get bigger, hence inclusion of the LGB, things like that. But unfortunately, with movements like the LGB, then comes the T, then comes the insanity. It's like, okay, when you bring this into your house, there's no getting rid of it. And I feel like conservative, what is being a conservative anymore? Because people will make it one of two things. For me, it's economics. Other people, it's a mix of economics and culture and a traditionalist type of culture, which I understand. I agree with it. I just don't think it should be forced on people. So it's kind of like if you want to marry somebody else of the same sex, I don't care. That's none of my business. You know, I just don't believe in it. It's kind of like saying I don't support homosexuality. I'm just not going to go out there and marry a dude. I think that's fair. But unfortunately, there are some days. Ryan Reynolds is a sexy son of a bitch. I'm just saying. That's what I was fighting for over there. It wasn't democracy. It wasn't free. It was Ryan Reynolds. We were all fighting for Ryan Reynolds. So anyway.
He's in a new movie, isn't he? Look it up. There's a new movie coming out with Ryan on it.
The mark of a good actor to me is someone that is versatile in their ability to play different roles. And the examples I can give are, say, for example, what's his name? It's slipping my mind. He played Joker.
Heath Ledger?
Yeah, I was going to say Hugh Jackman. I don't know why. Heath Ledger. I think Heath Ledger.
He played Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think Heath Ledger was a very multifaceted actor. I think Johnny Depp is a very good actor. He's able to play various different roles. But when it comes to Ryan Reynolds, it's kind of like you get the same character, but you just love, you get Deadpool in every movie, but you like it because it's like, you know what? It resonates. It's funny.
Yeah. So I'm noting this down on my mental list of trolls. You've given me ammo. You made me stronger.
Fair enough. I deal with the gripers. I deal with the friggin' Jew haters. That's whatever.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. Oh, RFK, conservatism.
What is conservatism? What is conservatism to you?
It's economic. It's liberty-based. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I don't really care what you do. Like when gay marriage was, you know, they were protesting for gay marriage. My argument was you're protesting the wrong thing. Instead of protesting the government to make them grant you the ability to get married to someone of a different, of the same sex, you should be protesting that the government is involved in marriage at all.
Thank you. Yes. I've said the same things. Like, why do we involve the state? The state has nothing to do with this. This is between two people. Fuck the government.
The same thing.
They should have no say.
Yes. And like the same thing when they were doing down in Lower Manhattan. Oh my gosh, something versus Tea Party. The when they had the protests down in Zuccotti Park.
Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah, Occupy.
Yeah.
We went down there, a whole group of us from New York, the crazy liberty-minded people we are, and we got a very large percentage of the crowd there to do an End the Fed March.
There you go.
Because they didn't have any idea what the Federal Reserve was doing and what they were. And we're like, you're protesting the wrong thing.
How do you not know about this?
Like, they had no idea. They're sitting there on their iPhones in the park. You know, I'm like, you guys, you have it all wrong, guys. I sympathize with you. I don't like the government either, okay?
You're like the Green Berets, like going behind enemy lines to like usurp them and like create your own guerrilla warfare group. Like, I absolutely love that.
Behind every like crazy left-wing propaganda movement is a hatred of something the government is doing.
Yeah, it's actually very true. It's regardless of which side you're on.
Yeah, so why are we fighting against each other instead of fighting against the behemoth that you guys don't recognize is actually the problem? Like, join hands.
I think people are waking up to it because the biggest things that you're fighting against now are the MSM, that they thrive on this. They thrive on the separation. They thrive on the engagement via clicks and ad revenue they're generating when people are clicking, sharing. It's all money-based. It's got to be. I don't feel like a lot of these people believe a lot of half the crap they spew out there, but as long as they can keep people divided, it's going to keep them in the forefront of people's news feeds, timelines. And again, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, how often, like we could do a social experiment. You could post something negative, not you yourself, but a negative story. It's going to generate clicks, shares, opinions, comments. You post something good, nothing. Nobody cares.
Opposite for me.
Really?
Yes. Let me give you some real world examples.
Let's do it.
I posted a video of myself getting into the passenger side of my husband's car to go pick him up at the dealership. So clearly there was something wrong with my noggin that morning because by habit, I just got in his, I got in his passenger seat so that he could drive me to pick him up. I hope you're getting this. I was supposed to be driving the car, not him. Right. He wasn't even there at all. Right. Like didn't, I 8 million views on that video. Okay. Happy. My post this morning with my husband, tons of views. But if I post something serious like Missouri v. Biden or COVID vaccine or whatever.
Nothing. Crickets. Really?
Crickets. Huh. It's pretty. And speaking of fighting about things, like we're fighting each other. We're fighting the left. There were people underneath that post, me being stupid, from all over the spectrum. Nobody gave a crap what my politics were. They didn't like automatically go see what I was doing and say, oh, that girl, I can't laugh at this. It was just like one big happy family under there making fun of each other. That's right. Great. In our side, we look over, we can't even keep divorces private anymore.
No.
They're plastered all over the place. People like whose religion is better, who's more virtuous, who's more pious, who's more this, who's better traditional wife, who's a better traditional husband, who's a better alpha, who's a better, just shut up. Like, come on.
It's the truth. I'm glad you said it because it's like, okay, for example, you bring up the divorce stuff, a Crowder and not gay Jared and all this stuff is trending and people, I'm getting DMs. What's your opinion? It's like, I don't care. I honestly don't care.
It's not my business,
man. Exactly. I don't give a shit. You know, even with the Candace Owens nonsense and Daily Wire, it's like, look, I just think she's a shitty human being. It's like, but ultimately I don't care
because it doesn't matter.
It's just drama. And the thing is, they're always going to land on their feet. They're going to find someone to hire them. They're going to continue doing what they do. And it just gets to this point where it's like, I'm tired of hearing about it. Like, I took about a two-week hiatus from Twitter. I was on it occasionally. I was doing some traveling. And I'm telling you, the mental clarity you get, I tell this to people on the show all the time. It's like, all this racism that the press wants you to think exists in the real world, go out your front door and tell me how many burning crosses you see. How many Ku Klux Klan marches do you see? It's like, let's stop with this nonsense. They want us to believe that the sky is falling because as long as they have us feeding into that, it's we're going to keep coming back to where the fear porn is coming from. And they do a very good job doing this. They do a very good job convincing Americans that, and this is the thing I can't stand, you're older than me. I'm about to be 40. So you know this. Every election, Tracy, every election, in case you didn't know, is it. It's the last election. America's not going to last after 4 more years of Biden. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If we lasted the last 2 years of Donald Trump or 1 year with the lockdowns and stuff and the first 2 to 3 years of Biden, we're going to make it. It's going to suck. It's going to be difficult. But at the same time, America's not doomed.
Well,
and I cannot stand that.
I mean, I don't know if I agree with you.
We're going to be fine. Tracy, the 80s. My God, the interest rates were at 22%.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot of comparisons we can make. Yeah. The only issue I have with it is because of the work I do, I see so much of this underbelly of what's going on in terms of, you know, stripping us of our First Amendment rights.
Oh, that I agree with. Oh, that
targeting.
Yes,
we might have America, the country. People might still be able to go to yoga. People might still be able to go out to eat, but we're really teetering on, you know, that's the problem I have with it.
I agree with you there. I do agree with that sense. So, yeah, I guess when you put it into that kind of context, yeah, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, we see, I mean, my God, you see that story came out of Canada like 2 days ago. They talked about a rain tax. Did you see that?
That's been going on forever. People do that here.
Stop.
They do that here. Yes.
Wait, did they talk about it or actually do it?
No, there's, I'm nearly certain there have been places, and I used to look at this years and years ago, where they were taxing your rainwater. Absolutely.
And
they didn't want you to be able to, yes.
Yeah.
And the same thing they're doing with food. I mean, that's a place where it's very near, I have to have very pure food for my body. It's just something that happened to me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
As we go like and we open up our eyes more to what's going on, all of a sudden our souls and our bodies are like, we need pure stuff. Let's make ourselves whole again. And we're like craving this stuff because like it really for me and my husband just happened like that. One day we woke up and we're like, you know, I don't want to keep killing myself with poison anymore. Let's revolutionize our eating habits. Like, we went from eating like a normal American, fast food, pizza, you know, all that, to eating nothing but meat overnight.
Yeah.
It's weird. Anyway.
No, not really. I mean, I think maybe your body, like you said, subconsciously, you want to change. And the fact that you two hit that point at the same time, that's a good thing.
Well, I actually did it because I didn't want him to have to do it by himself. He's lost 170 pounds.
Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's lost 170 pounds. He was clinically depressed no more. He had MS. His MS lesions actually are gone on his cervical spine.
Nice.
There's been a lot of really crazy stuff that's happened. He is the real story. I'm just a kind of like tag along.
Yeah, but you also helped. I mean, you're the support of a woman. I mean, it's even a support of a man. Like, absolutely. That's a wonderful thing. Good for both of you.
Yeah,
sincerely.
He's amazing. He just,
I mean, I'm sure his quality of life has improved.
Yeah. Oh, everything's improved.
There's
you know
so many people out there.
Too?
Sex life.
Testosterone.
People can joke about that, but that's how I developed my following was from fat shaming idiots, and people didn't like that. And then it blended into politics. It's a very strange trip I've been on, but I wouldn't cash it in for anything. But the point that I've tried to make is that when people are initially drawn to each other, it's usually a sexual attraction right off the bat, get-go for the man at least. A guy doesn't look at like a woman across the way, and if she's ugly, be like, I'm going to talk to her just to see what her personality is like. No, normally it's like, man, she's hot, let me go talk to her. But that's the initial draw. But then true love comes from like, it's like, I genuinely love who she is. Like, she's a good human being. She brings me, that's how I feel about Sheila. It's like, you are genuinely a good soul. Your looks are wonderful. It's like, but deep down in your heart, I know I would trust you with my life. I would trust you with my finances. I could see you being the mother of my children if we decided to have them. So when you have that sexual attraction that is the initiation of many relationships, and someone puts on a lot of weight, you are no longer representing the person that you entered that relationship into. And therefore, the sex life takes a hit. And that's a big thing in relationships. And so when people lose the weight and stuff and the sex life reignites, it's like, oh, we rekindled our passion. It's like, wonderful. That's awesome.
I don't know that I would say it ever really dropped off, more so that it's different. And we were actually having this conversation the other day, me and my husband, because I read a stat that blew my mind. And this, I've never spoken about this stuff. You've got something new today.
Nice.
I actually had a conversation with my husband about this because there was some stat that the average married couple has sex maybe once every month max, sometimes less than that, once every 2 or 3 months. Wow. And I was basically looking at him like, is that a thing? Like, is that for real? People actually, like, I couldn't even imagine in a normal, you know, when everyone's healthy and you have a normal life, I couldn't even imagine doing that. That's insane to me. Now, I've always had a high sex drive. So
well, you're Italian. You're like bred to make babies. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, and I do a good job of it.
Babies and meatballs. That's what you're bred for.
Mm-hmm. And I'm good at it.
No, you're right, though. You're right. But I think some, you know, with the introduction of pornography and stuff like that, there are things that sidetrack stuff. And it's I think, like you said, with the you're wanting to eat meat, change your diet. I think there's a movement, or I know there's a movement now that is talking about trying to get men and people off of pornography. And it's like, I agree with it. It's, you know, I'm one of those people, I come from the military background, porn's everywhere.
Why do you need it though?
You're accustomed to it. You like
when we're
kids. I guess
when you're not with woman, you need it.
Yeah, exactly. Women are more imaginative creatures. Like, you know, they're like sex camels. You can go like, I shouldn't say you can. It's just like women, if they needed to, can go years without sex. Like, no, I'm good. I don't need porn.
Speak
like,
for yourself, man.
I said without a man, Tracy. Hold on.
Okay. I've been
without a man. You've got a man.
I've been committed for like a very long time. So for me, there's no other way to be. I wasn't one of those people though when I was like, I was very, I don't want to say prude, but I was very careful.
Nothing wrong
about
with
who
that.
I gave myself to.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I was never one of those people. But I think women in general should be figuring out what it is that's causing them to not want to be with their husbands and fix it. If it's fixable. And men who are like not interested in that need to eat more meat and get their testosterone fixed.
That has been an issue that I've had to deal with as far as low testosterone. When I came back, Man, just feelings of depression, being lethargic, not wanting to go to the gym. And then I got a buddy of mine, he's like, go get your blood work done. And so my testosterone was hovering around 175, my free floating test. And it was, that's low. Yeah. And they're like, you're like 35. Your testosterone should be 500 to 700s minimum. So as soon as I got on the test, it was just like night and day. It's like, oh my God, I feel good. You know,
you weren't depressed anymore either.
No.
Right?
No, I felt good.
That's a big thing that most men don't realize. If you're suffering from low testosterone, it will cause you.
Oh yeah.
It will. Yeah. And I mean, it's people, a hormone.
And I think for a lot of men out there, they view it as this thing. It's like, it's a sign of like, you're not really a man. It's like, dude, you know, it's very common, especially in combat veterans, like, because your adrenaline dumps go, like, you're just, you're on, you're set, your sensory, your senses are set to like high every day. Your senses are just always firing for like 4.5 years of just combat. And then you come back and you kind of go into this mode of just, I don't even know how else to describe it.
It's adrenal fatigue.
Yeah. And so when I talked to my doctor, she's like, this is actually very, very common, not just amongst combat veterans, but in men in general. And then a lot of men don't realize that you can get prostate cancer from having low testosterone. I wasn't aware of that either. And a lot of this is derived from your diet. And that's when it kind of, the wake up call was like, okay, we need to start eating better.
Yeah. And not only that, but the more obese, the more body fat you have, the more estrogen your body holds, you know, holds on to after production as men. Yeah. And that factors into it as well. Like, I really feel like there's a, like for women, there's a massive gaping hole where that was bad. There is a massive hole.
Still bad.
Where, like, I know.
You started this, not me.
We're going to do blooper reels, aren't we? There's a massive space where there needs to be more women who spend.
There's a massive gaping hole. People thought this was going to be a professional interview.
I'm sweating. I'm red. Like, oh, look, my God. I'm actually turning red.
I got I got the Italian the blush.
There's a space that needs to be filled with knowledge.
Where I like how quickly you blew through that.
I can't do it another way. I can't come up with anything.
There's a massive gaping void that needs to be filled with some throbbing knowledge. Throbbing knowledge. Is that better?
The only other person to ever do this to me in the middle of a thing is Kyle Serafin. He had me dying one time. It was not like this. menopause, perimenopause, that area of a woman's health is completely understudied, and women are wandering around in a jungle with no guidance system whatsoever. Trust me, it's true. Men, their hormonal health is greatly understudied and underrepresented in their, you know, it's just, it's an area that people don't pay attention to, and doctors don't
until
really care about.
Until it affects you. Yeah, until it affects
you.
Well,
and then it affects you when you don't even know what the hell is going on and nobody looks. Yeah. Like, my husband got his testosterone checked the first time after we were doing like a session, just like we had like a little thing that happened. We just wanted some mediation about it. We wanted an outside opinion. And the person said, hey, just curious, have you gotten your testosterone checked? And my husband was like, well, no. And so he was like, well, go get your testosterone checked. Same thing with you. And that was a big part of some of the issues he was having separate from our thing.
Right,
and another thing, I think couples, going back to your first question, should do more of that, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy.
Mediation?
But like, I agree.
But I'm happy to hear you say that, because when you have two people that are emotionally intelligent enough to say, look, we're in an impasse. I sincerely believe I'm right. You sincerely believe you're right. Let's go to a third party that we both trust to mediate. And that's a very responsible position to take. Good for you.
It actually really opened up the both of our eyes to certain things. Like, we have a very happy marriage. We always have. But we were like, let's make it better, because it can always get better, right? So here are some of the things that bother me that I never talk about. And here are some of the things that bother you that you never talk about. Where is the root cause of whatever that disagreement may be, or why? And fix it. And a lot of the time it ended up being like I'm sacrificing something very important to me because I think that it will make him happier. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it was a non-issue for him in the beginning. Like, you know, so, right. so I'm sacrificing something that I never even had to sacrifice just because I was too stupid to ask him, hey, does it make you feel better when I do this, this, and this? Like, it's right. just communication.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call yourself stupid. I would call yourself being very considerate. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, well, that's kind.
Well, no, I mean, it's true because I wouldn't want women feeling, because Sheila does the same thing. She'll do the same thing with me. It'll be like, you know, I did this and this. Like, you didn't have to do that. Like, I am so grateful you considered me. Thank you for having such a good, considerable spirit about yourself. Like, but you don't have to do that. And I feel like, you know, when somebody communicates that, it's like communication is the key for everything. It's one of the biggest, I think that's one of the biggest things that all couples fight about too much or the lack thereof as far, normally lack thereof as far as communication goes.
Well, I have this, you know, there's such a societal thing going on where everybody thinks that if they show emotion, they're weak.
Yeah.
And I think that that's absurd.
That's that toxic masculinity the liberals love to chime about, but that's actually true toxic masculinity because the Spartans had this thing called fear shedding. You should look it up. It's a real thing. That after a battle, they would essentially allow their emotions to be purged. They would cry, scream, beat the earth. It was a form of therapy, and they didn't even realize, or maybe they did, I don't know. But if the Spartans did that, you think us petty, we petty Americans, like, you think you're not manly enough? It's like, stop. This, but that comes into wisdom and experience where it's like, look, I can't tell you how many times after a firefight I'd go into the showers and I would break. I would just start crying because it's scary. And not scary of death, scary that you're going to make the wrong call and lose a guy. And it's like, fuck, like, if I lose somebody, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. Like, how you write the letter? How do you do that? Like, it's a scary thing. So when people say, like, you know, grown men don't cry, yeah, bullshit. Bull fucking shit.
They should. True. I mean, it's not a sign of weakness. Like women too. I went years and years and years without, I stopped showing any emotion whatsoever for anything. Cause I'm deep researching freaking tragic, horrible crap. Like, pedophilia rings and human trafficking. And I just couldn't, I was vomiting from what I was reading. Right. Yeah. I had to put something up to stop me from reacting that way. I got to get the information out. It's important. Right. We need to stop it. And so I put up a wall, and then there's no feeling after that at all. Like, it was just gone. And it seeps into your personal life.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
The hardest part is flipping that switch, that emotion switch, flipping it back on. That's the hard part. When you're away, I've never experienced anything like you have in that capacity. Thank God. I never would want to. That's horrible. But for me, it was like
war, John.
Well, okay, hold on. War versus pedophilia. I mean, come on. I mean, one's
bad. Yeah, but I wasn't like witnessing it. I was just researching.
Yeah, but that's still like that's such a demonic thing to get into. As far as even for, you know, it's horrible. I feel like you're dealing with the worst of the worst. Like that. I don't know anybody that's worse than pedophiles. I really don't. No. So, I mean, outside of murderers, but even still, even that's kind of like, I don't know.
Well, that could be done in self-defense, but pedophilia can't.
True. That is true.
And it was demonic, by the way.
Oh, I agree with you. It has to be. You know, we are, I don't talk about religion a lot on the show. I don't like, I mean, I'll do politics all day, but religion, it's like, I think that's just personal for people. It's like, you believe what you want to believe. I don't like beating people over the head with the Bible, except the OnlyFans sluts. Those are fun to do. And that's only for the sake of trolling. That's only for trolling.
I was going to start an OnlyFans account, and this is what it was going to be. Ready?
I already know what you're going to say.
What?
Go ahead. I already know what you're
saying. I want to know if you're right.
It was going to be some form of trolling to where I was going to do the same thing, but make it one of these.
I was going to start it wearing a bathing suit, holding political signs in front of me.
I like, did not guess that. Well done. You should still do this. You should still do this. That's brilliant. You should do it.
I mean, somebody's got to get the message out. Taxation is theft. You can't have the first without the second. You know, all the famous slogans. That's what I was going to do. And one of my friends makes fun of me all the time. So he says, are you starting the only beans soon?
The only beans?
People make a lot of money on that crap. And trust me, when you tell the truth all the time, you could use the money because people don't like you very much.
Oh, that's true.
It's hard.
Sponsorships, stuff like that. If you're ever looking for sponsorships, let me know. Shell Shock Sponsors. We've sponsored Shannon Jewel.
I'm always looking for freaking sponsor. We'll talk about this. Why would I not be looking for sponsors?
Well, Tracy, I don't know. You're so big. You've got a massive fucking account. I would figure you'd have sponsors knocking at your door left and right. I'm sure you got like Public Square, like Truth Social. Like, hey, You know, all these people. All right, we'll talk after this. I'll shoot you, man. I'm definitely interested. No, for sure. I love sponsoring people that actually, like, I love sponsoring Shannon. You know, she's one of these other people that goes out there. She doesn't give a fuck. She doesn't care. It's like, good. Like, we don't agree on everything, but I'm perfectly okay with that. The fact that you have balls enough to stand up there and go against these people and say, I don't care what you think. This is the truth. I'm going to stick with it. I want to sponsor people like that because it's like you deserve it. When you're willing to stand up against the masses and say, look, this is not my truth. This is the fucking truth. There is only one universal truth. And our individual interpretations can kind of skew that, but it's still the truth. So when you have people like yourself and Shannon and myself as well that will stand up there and say, look, this is bullshit. Like, for one of the biggest things I caught heat over was the Sound of Freedom movie. Tim Ballard and the rest of them was like, look, I'm a little curious. There's some questions that should be asked here. The whole hunt your local pedophile nonsense. Like, you guys aren't doing anything. It's like you're virtue signaling that you are. I caught so much shit for that. And I'm just saying,
you recently started talking about that again.
Tim Ballard's got some skeletons. And I'm just kind of like, if we truly cared about human trafficked, sex trafficked victims, then the truth should be sought after regardless of where it's found. And when I feel like somebody is grifting and they're taking advantage of people's emotions and ignorance and they're using human trafficking to do it, I have an issue with that. And so when you bring these things to light, you're going to get a lot of flack. But going back to the original point, though, it's like, but you deserve the sponsors. You deserve to have that. You deserve to have your work paid for because it's like, look, nobody else is doing this. No one else has the guts to stand up and say, hey, you can hate me. I'm going to get doxxed. I'm going to get threats. I'm going to probably be on a list somewhere. So it's like, no, we need more independent journalists that don't exemplify these massive bias that the people at Fox, Breitbart, CNN, they all have. Even Daily Wire has it. So it's kind of like, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Well, thank you for that. You saved me from creating OnlyFans.
I still want you to do it. That would be hilarious.
I don't want to take the ire from you or my husband for that matter.
You're not doing it for the reasons.
Like, no.
Do it with do the sign thing. That's a great idea.
It is. It is funny, isn't it?
It's hilarious. Yeah, it's hilarious. You should do it. I thought about, like I said, just doing the meat gazer symbol.
You should go look at Aubrey Huff. He's funny as hell lately. He's funny in a very crude way to me. But he's doing his like take on the OnlyFans chicks that have their pictures up all over socials. Like, look at me. It's 8 in the morning and this is what I look like. Look, I'm in lingerie and my hair is done and my makeup's done. Like, girl.
You call it Only Beans? Only Beans?
I would call it Only Beans. That's what Adam says. That's my
I remember
Adam.
There was this thing that George Bush did a long time ago. It was a skit about him. He's like, right now we're getting reports that we've got Taliban going through our southern border trying to infiltrate America. And create sleeper cells, and they're mixing with the Mexicans, and we're calling them Talibaners.
You do a pretty good Bush impression.
I pulled so much guard duty in the military. That's all you have to do is like you sit there and you do impersonations.
Can I ask you some questions now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, they're real.
Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Can you tell me, because this household is, for decades, since I was like a kid in high school, I've been a huge wrestling fan. So like, that's a little thing about me you don't know.
Oh, you want to see the questions?
Yeah, I want to know, what was it like working with John Cena? I've never been like a massive John Cena fan. I've always kind of found him a little annoying, to be honest. right. But I don't dislike him. I was like more of a Shawn Michaels girl. So he wasn't like my bag.
I was Sting. I was Sting.
You like, okay.
I was Sting. NWO Sting from the Raptors. DDP. You know, he does a lot of good out there with his yoga.
He does.
You see what he did with Butterbean?
I got my husband a, what's the thing they do when they, you can go online and a Cameo. I got him a Cameo from DDP.
Oh, really?
We were doing DDP at the time, the yoga, and it was 15 minutes long. Dude sent my husband a 15-minute long Cameo for his birthday.
Nice.
Showed him the whole downstairs of his studio, all the old memorabilia, walked through,
badass.
Did a tour.
That's badass.
And Yeah, I mean, I made a joke about how Apple is basically, the fees are like, I'm like, they're raping you with these fees. And I think he liked that I used the word raping you in a first communication.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing. So like WWE has a lot of like parts of it that people don't realize. Mm. What is it like doing a whole show with John Cena, though? Is he cool?
John Cena is probably one of the most misunderstood people out there. Let me give you some anecdotes here. I didn't know much about Cena. I never watched wrestling religiously. I remember as a kid I did, and then I moved on to different things. And so I had a friend of mine. He said, you should try out for the show. I was like, I don't give a fuck about reality television. I'm not interested. He's like, no, just I submitted your stuff. Go see. They hit me back, and I was like, okay. So they did a Skype interview. And they was like, what would you do in this situation? I was like, I'd probably scream at him. I'm a drill star. It's what I do. And they're like, we love it. I was like, we want you. That was it. So they fly me out to Georgia. I had just left Georgia like 4 months prior. I got out of the Army out of Savannah. And so I go back to Savannah, Hilton Head Beach area. And like, would you feel comfortable coming back here? I was like, absolutely. I love it down there. Savannah is probably one of my most favorite cities to go to. The nightlife is the best. The food is incredible. There is so much history. And
Hilton Head is South Carolina, by the way, because right, I live about.
Yeah, there you go. That vicinity is where we filmed that. So
yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Yeah. And I go down there, and so I drive in, and I'm on the set, and they're going showing me around everything, and then I see John Cena, and you know he walks up, he's like, "Hey, John, nice to meet you. I look forward to working with you." Firm handshake. I was like, "Oh, you as well. Good to meet you." And he's like, "By the way, I'm taking everybody out for dinner tonight, and we're gonna get to know each other." It's like, "Absolutely, wonderful." And so we go out to dinner, and it's the cadre, the producer, a few other people, and there's Cena. And we go into this restaurant, immediately walk upstairs because, you know, people recognize him. And it's when you're that level of celebrity, I don't think I could do it because you literally can't go anywhere. You can't. Like, we were at a Dairy Queen, and we're ordering. And we're just, it's the four cadre and him in an SUV, blacked out SUV, and we're ordering ice cream. We pull up to the front, and the lady sees John Cena, and her eyes just go, "You're John Cena." Everyone in the restaurant comes out and swarms the car, and we can't move. And he looks at me, he's like, "It's literally like this everywhere I go." I was like, "I don't see how you do it." He's like, "Yeah, it's part of it." And you could tell, it's like, it got to him. I mean,
yeah, well, he's a very disciplined,
he is.
Private person. Yeah. You know, he puzzled me. Like, I would want to get to know him in real life. Like, yeah. He's so interesting to me. So, makes sense.
So, when he took us to dinner that night, when we got done, he approached me. He's like, "You know, I watched all the cadre." And this is my first kind of indicator of the type of man he was. He's like, "I noticed that you don't talk a lot." I was like, "Well, you must not know me very well." I was like, "But okay." And he was like, "Well, here's the deal. It's like, in the living conditions, we have the main cadre house that only sleeps three, and then we have this grandma's cottage above the garage that only sleeps two. I'm in the cottage. I'd like you for you to be my roommate because I feel like we'd probably get along. You're into fitness. I have a gym downstairs. You're more than welcome to use it. I have all this pre-workout. More than welcome." He's like, "It's just that I respect my privacy." He's like, "You get no issue with me." So I roommate with him for 2 months, and Cena speaks fluent Mandarin, plays piano. This guy is a very, very intelligent man. Mm-hmm. He's not the lunkhead wrestler you think he is. This guy knows his shit. He's not
stupid.
He
never came off that way. He never came off like a lunkhead, even in his, you know, even in his promos and whenever he was talking, he always came off really intelligent, which is why I couldn't believe he was with one of the Bella twins for so long.
You know, I met her too. She was actually very nice. She's a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I didn't see the appeal there, but at the same time, love is love. You can't explain it sometimes. Sometimes people just click. You need polar opposites. Some people are the same. I can't explain it. It's the front. It is love, Tracy. I do not know. They fuck is it make. I do not know. It's with devil. So that's basically the way I saw it. It's like, I'm not going to sit there and try and break this down. I'm not a fucking psychologist. Like, but if they love each other, then so be it. It could have been a publicity thing. I don't know. But either way, this guy was one of those guys that you could talk to in confidence and he's not going to spill the beans on your shit. Like, he's a good dude. So after the Oscars thing he did where he was naked, I texted him. I was just like, "I miss your musk." He's like, "It smells like pathetic." He smells like, what do you say? It smells like scotch and some depression or some shit like that. But he's a good dude.
He's getting married now, isn't he?
I think he's already married.
Oh, he got married?
I think so. I think he married a Persian. And my fiance, she's Persian. She was like, oh, yay. It's like, so, yeah, because he was talking.
Persians for the win.
Whew, that's a whole culture like that, you know. Mark Twain had this quote he said about, and I'm paraphrasing, he talked about like bigotry dies when you travel. And I know it's a much more elaborate, beautiful quote the way he wrote it. And it's very true. When you experience other cultures, it removes certain biases and also confirms certain stereotypes. But for me, it was like I didn't know the difference between Persians and Arabs. And then being around Persians for a very long time, it's like, oh, no, there is a vast difference between the two. Food being one of them, culture being another, clearly. Yep. But Persians are a very easygoing, very, very cosmetic, superficial culture of like everything has to be perfect. You talk about the OnlyFans, like this is what I look like at 8 o'clock. No, they do. Persians do.
But they're also so peaceful.
They are.
Spiritually peaceful people.
Yeah.
Like it just, it's like,
they're chill.
Yeah.
They're not like the Arabs. They're not like the Arabs. The Arabs are just like,
or the Italian.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, to answer your question, he's a good dude. He's, you know, and then I get a lot of shit. It's like, why did John Cena side with China? It's like, I don't fucking know. I don't know. I don't agree with it, but I don't know. People would, like Tracy, people would hit me up like I'm his PR agent. It's like, I don't know.
I get that a lot of the time too, because, yeah, well, not with John Cena, obviously. Well,
no. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But with other people that like I have been
associated with or talked to.
Yeah. Like they think that because I have done things with them in the past, that I know everything about every decision they make and I'm somehow intimately involved. And I'm like, I have no effing clue.
I got a DM the other day from some schmuck on Twitter about Gina Carano. I still have to get her on the show. Like we talk, but she won't come on the show because she doesn't really want to get into politics. I'm like, we'll talk about motivational shit.
We just did a whole show of no politics, basically.
Yeah. Well, kind of, yeah. But you know, people are demons like, what's up with Gina? It's like, I don't fucking know. It's like, I don't live with her. Like, it's none of my business. But when you talked about like Cena's privacy, to kind of circle it all back around, I feel like with social media, it seems like with the Crowder stuff, it's like a lot of the stuff is like, look, the only reason you're going public with this is to sway public opinion. That's the only reason. I was like, otherwise, keep it to yourself. It's nobody's. If your relationship is having problems, you should not be going and venting it on social media. That is not the place for it. That's a massive red flag.
Did you see the other day the guy that posted about the chair, the rocking chair?
No.
This dude, I guess, had a rocking chair that his mom like nursed him in or whatever, and his fiance's pregnant, and he took the chair and wanted to put it in the nursery, and the wife didn't want that chair. She wanted her own chair, and he went to social media and was like, this, my wife doesn't care, or my fiance doesn't care about how I feel. She won't use this chair to nurse. And I'm like, that's not what I do.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I do. I wouldn't like run to socials and like be like, my husband refuses to wear, you know, my great grandfather.
He won't wear my thong.
He refuses. There's a big gaping hole.
I've been asked. We're going back to that now, are we? We're going back to the gaping hole. No, I think, you know, I think it's you know, I saw this one influencer. I scroll TikTok just like every other person that wants their data bought by China. And I'll see these influencers on there. And there's this one female influencer that you can always tell. It's always the women. It's never the dudes. When a dude goes through a breakup, it's gym photos. It's gym motivational shit like stronger than I was. Yeah, yo, nothing but a peanut. Women, it's like, it wasn't your soulmate. It's just not the right. So dudes and women have their own variations of dealing with breakups and divorces. But there's this one woman. She's got a massive following. And she's genuinely funny. She's attractive, but she keeps harping on things related to her ex. And it's like, okay, gentlemen, that's a big red flag. Ladies, that's a massive red flag if a guy does it. You don't go to social media and air your dirty laundry and paint it in the perspective of, well, let's put it this way. Tracy, if you were single again, God forbid, knock on wood, you're never single again and your marriage lasts forever and you never die. If you were single again, you go on a first date, because I don't want to jinx you. You go on a first date, and the guy is shit talking his past girlfriends. What does that tell you about that guy?
Oh gosh.
Mm-hmm.
On a first date?
On a first date. Even a second or third date though.
No, I would.
Why?
Because first of all, it shows emotional weakness. Second of all, it shows a complete lack of respect.
Yep.
For me and for them.
Yep.
And just seriously and truly, I'm not interested. That's why I'm here right now. Because if I were interested in your exes, I would be talking to them, not you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge red flag. Same thing when you sit down with someone for a first date or whatever, and they're complaining about their family, their mom, their dad.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not here to hear your problem. I'm not your therapist. I'm interested in you, but now I'm just not interested because it seems like all you want to do is bitch. I get that.
There's so much dating stuff going on socials. Everybody chiming him in with their opinion. I am so glad that I don't have to date. I feel terrible.
I just go to Pearl. I get the hot takes from Pearl. Isn't that what we're all supposed to do now?
She's
an idiot. She's an idiot.
Listen, not only is she an idiot,
she's actually very intelligent. I know what she's doing.
I don't think
she believes half the shit she says. I genuinely think she is a professional troll and she is stuck with the gig. I really think that.
She has to be. If not, we have problems.
Nobody could be that stupid. Not even liberals are that stupid.
It's not that she's stupid. It's that she's evil.
She doesn't
come off to me like a genuinely nice or good person. And you can see that in somebody.
Well,
and
she's
in her
ginger,
interview.
So.
Well, I mean, they are all from hell, but.
Wow. Wow.
That's what they say.
They said they don't have souls. It doesn't necessarily. Well, I guess that doesn't quite. Yeah, okay.
Well,
I mean,
redheaded libertarian is nice.
Which one is that? There's two of them.
Josie.
Is she the one that
she's
works
the
with Tim Pool?
One.
Oh, yeah, the calendar that freaking rocked conservative Twitter. I'm not a fan of hers. She could be nice. I don't know. Some things she says, I just don't agree with.
Agree with everything she says either, but she's funny as hell. And she's smart. And she's pretty. I'm not one of those people posting selfies of myself all the time, though. Like, I more power to you if you can.
Yeah. If that's your thing, yeah.
But.
I don't know. There's certain people, and it's not that I hate. I mean, I don't hate people. But, you know, when some people, there's a lot of people that don't like the things I say. So they're going to be like, I don't want to follow. It's like, you don't hurt my feelings. I don't blame you. I mean, if you are being bombarded by toxicity nonstop in your timeline and you feel like you need to get away from that, I encourage you to do so. I 100% encourage you to do so. You should come first. That's why I've said so many times, like, I'll take a social media break because honestly, I don't give a fuck about any of you. You don't pay my bills. It's like, you know, and if I die tomorrow, you're not going to give a shit about me. You'll be like, oh, that sucks. LOL. Rest in peace. And that's it. So you've got to take care of yourself. No one's coming to rescue you. No one gives a damn about your mental health except you. So you've got to be the one responsible enough to, you understand, Tracy? I'm preaching right at you right now. I'm saying this
to you.
Well,
that's good because I'm taking vacation next week. I'm not going anywhere until the end of the week. Mm-hmm. I'm just
Where are you going?
Not. I am going down to the premiere of the Flynn documentary because I am in it.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Yeah, I was really, really, really proud to be in this one. This story needs to be told the right way.
What is this about? This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Oh, it's a documentary about what happened to General Flynn. So it starts in his military career up through when he worked under Obama and then through the beginning of the Trump administration and then his case as it went through the Justice Department. And I like when the Amber Heard Johnny Depp stuff was going on, I literally said, here's a story you guys would want to hear. And I told General Flynn's story without saying his name. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh, my God, because the DOJ dropped his charges. It's like the local cop saying, oh, actually, he didn't really do this. We're so sorry. And then the judge being like, send him to jail anyway, because that's what happened. Mm. So that's what the documentary is about. It's not a focus on Spygate in particular. It's more of a focus on his story, and without his story we never would have learned 90% of all the other stuff that we learned. So I was just happy to be in that because I was one of the only people that were covering it like the right way. So
and when is this air? Like, where is this going to be though? Like, where
the premiere of the movie? Yeah, the premiere of the movie is Friday, next Friday, April 5th in Venice, but there's a tour he's taking all cities all over the country. It's at flynnmovie.com/beans. You can go to and see the tour dates and everything. And he's also, you can buy it on DVD. And the reason they're still doing DVD is because they have distribution, right? So it's being distributed everywhere.
Right.
But they could just be like, you know what? We don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So you can buy it on DVD so you actually have it visible.
No, that's a smart way of going about it. And it's a shame that in this age of modern day technology that people have to take steps like that to circumvent potentially being canceled, shut down, silenced. Because once they silence you on social media, like I've been banned multiple times.
Yeah.
You got to rebuild. And, you know, Reese is in the chat. She's one of your biggest supporters. Reese has been one of my biggest.
Reese.
she always she's helped me reestablish the following, and yeah, she's
we're
been a
married,
godsend.
Me and Reese. I asked her to marry her.
I'm staying away from that one. I'm staying a Spanish with an Italian. Yes. That's not gonna go well.
She said she was gonna do it though.
You guys will be divorced in 6 months tops. Ain't no way. An Italian and a Spanish. No, not gonna happen. No, I'm glad to see you cover things like that. I think in this day and age now, I don't know. I think social media, just like newspapers, radio, television, could have been used, and it is used, don't get me wrong, for a lot of good things. But if you really take a step back, like, I've talked to Sheila about this a lot. It's like, I think I'm kind of hitting that level now to where I have my Instagram account. It's just like John Burke Insta or John Burke IG. I have two. I have a personal political. I like it for documentation purposes of my life, like my personal one. But I'm starting to get burned out. I'm tired. You know, you of all people know that when you are in this space nonstop, and, you know, I don't have a production team. It's just me and Josh. We're pulling the articles. We're doing what we can. You just get burned.
And I don't
it's
either.
Like, it's, you get so tired. And then, you know, I love Dave Rubin. He's been on the show. And, he's jokes. Like, I have a guy that brings me coffee. He's like, well, that must be nice. It must be great.
Right?
It must be great. So I was like, I could go for another tea right now. I was like, nobody, nothing.
I keep on saying, John, like, Daily Wire is really missing out on something right here.
Why aren't they hiring you? You bring in Candace Owens, Jew hater extraordinaire, but then there's you that actually does journalistic integrity pieces.
I have never gotten an offer from anything. I've always been like busting my ass on my own. And I don't know if it's like a vibe I give off. Like people are afraid of me. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is, but nobody.
I'm also
like,
smart enough not to answer that question. I am not going near that with a 10-foot pole.
I'm not.
I know Italian women. I ain't touching that one.
I'm not bad at what I do either. So I know that that's not it. So,
Tracy, let me tell you this. I will say this, though. I will say when you are on your own, though, you don't deal with the drama. You don't deal with any of the bullshit. You make your own rules. You're your own boss.
Yes.
Those are perks and benefits of being alone and being independent, truly independent. But then there is the aspect of like, man, it would really help to have a producer around here or some writers to help me like gather some information and so I can look at it. Yeah, because ultimately, you know, you're reading one story and then you've got 20 other stories people want you to talk about. So it's like, how far down the rabbit hole do I go on this one? So a lot of it is like you have to give, like for me, it's like I give cosmetic superficial takes. Like this is all I know on this topic. If we delve more into it, I don't know. It's like, but the other part is kind of like imposter syndrome. It's like, why the fuck do you care what I have to say? I was like, I'm not intelligent. I'm not Ben Shapiro. Like, listen up, gang. Here's what it's not me.
I don't know. He's not my favorite either.
He's hit or miss. There's a lot of them. I mean, I would say in the last 2 years, a lot of people that I used to have a lot of respect for have really just dropped. I'm going to hit you sideways with this one. I know you're not going to like it. Rand Paul.
I don't disagree.
I think him coming out as Never Nikki and not backing DeSantis was a bitch move. That was a bitch move.
Yeah, but I mean, there's more than that, though. Like, we had problems with... How long does this interview go? Just
as long as you want it to. Well, I don't want you to... You said you got to go make lunch for your husband, so...
Yeah, he's downstairs.
Want to do a part two?
I really do. I love talking to you far too much.
It's the gaping hole comment. That's what did it. Let's do a part two then.
When?
Tomorrow? At 12 CST?
Let me check my calendar, John. Right here. Right now. Live.
Right here. Right now. Live. We're doing this. We're locking this in. But it's going to have to be 12 p.m. CST.
Well, then I can do that.
Yes! I'm not waking up to do traffic again. No, I won't.
1 o'clock
totally
tomorrow,
for you.
We finish this off.
You want to do it?
Mano a mano.
Rumble, cage match, ladder match. What do you want? I'm game.
I could do that. Let's do that tomorrow.
Let's do it.
All right. Because I do have to make the kind of meatballs there.
No, Tracy. Even the chat confirmed you were wrong on this. There are more than just Italian meatballs. It's not so simplistic. Italians don't get to monopolize.
But those aren't real meatballs.
I'm sure Bork would disagree.
He's a cartoon.
Doesn't matter. It's real in my heart, and that's all that matters. All right, guys.
You're the only one that matters.
Damn right. It's John Burke's reality. Absolutely.
All right,
Tracy, where can everybody... Where can everybody find you at? It's like they don't already know.
They social media, it's at Tracy Beans or at Uncover DC. And then
Instagram too.
Well, yeah, I have Instagram. I barely use it.
You need to get back on there, though, because you could be making a big difference over there, because there's a lot of people on Instagram that don't use Twitter. I've noticed. I have like 10,000 on Instagram. None of them come to Twitter.
The last thing I put on Instagram for me personally was, which headshot photo do I use?
Can you guys pick from... I saw it because I still got to tag you over there. And I was like, she hasn't done shit with her Instagram. It's like, how do you have all these followers? And she's like, hey, come over to Instagram and spread the knowledge.
It's really not that many over there. It's not that many compared to the rest of like stuff. And anyway, it's everywhere. It's at Tracy Beans, then uncoverdc.com. Uncover, not undercover. Uncoverdc.com.
I do want to get more in depth on that tomorrow, though, because I want to know what, number one, what your motivation was to do this. And then you're an entrepreneur, whether you realize it or not. I'm sure you do.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I want to get some tips and tricks from you for fellow entrepreneurs out there, journalists and things such as that, things that you've seen to help make you successful. So keep that in the back of your mind.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
That sounds good.
Tracy, yes. Looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be a great time.
Ditto.
See you tomorrow. God bless. Bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, that does it for today for the All American Savage Show podcast. Appreciate you being here. If you could, go check out the show sponsor, which is ShellShockCBD.com. You got problems sleeping? You need problems with your pain management? You got lower lumbar problems? We have CBD salve creams. We also have Delta 8 and Delta 9. That's right for the boomers out there that get offended by this. You want to get stoned? We can legally make that happen. ShellShockCBD.com. Go use code Savage. Also, make sure you give a big follow to Tracy out there. Love her. She's a very, very good human being. Glad to have this conversation with her. So until next time, you stay savage, America.